Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can say, Amen. Our text is from the Old Testament lesson. But Joseph said to them, Don't be afraid, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. This is the word of the Lord. God is all powerful. God is good. These are statements that Christians generally accept. But it comes, and they come with complications. For example, if God is all powerful, why is there injustice, poverty, or evil? Especially if God is all good. This is the profound dilemma expressed in that term, theodicy. Part of the problem is our perspective. Things we see as evil are usually just bad for us. We don't really know the deeper thing that is going on. But some questions are really unanswerable except by faith, and we kind of have to live with these tensions. This was the question of Joseph's brothers, although they were not aware that they were asking this question. Pharaoh was, in the minds of the Egyptians, a powerful god. And Joseph had become the image of Pharaoh. It was Joseph who spoke to the people. It was Joseph who heard the petitions. It was Joseph who organized the kingdom. It was Joseph who provided the famine relief. Pharaoh had picked well. He was the one that people talked to in place of Pharaoh. He was given all the authority in the land that Pharaoh had. And the text says, except for the authority of the throne itself. Genesis lays out a long series of events concerning the brothers and Joseph. First, there were the dreams of the sun and moon and 11 stars, and a second dream of similar import. And people could interpret these dreams pretty well. Basically, Joseph had an ungrateful role as prophet because he was basically telling to his parents and his siblings that they would bow down to him. Sounds terribly egotistical. But that was the dream. There was also the matter of being the favorite son, which rankled the brothers no end and stirred their jealousy. The son of the favored wife, Rachel. So when the brothers saw an opportunity to end the favoritism, they lowered him into a well and prepared to kill him. Reuben, who had been disgraced for sleeping with one of his father's wives, Bilhah, planned to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. This is the classic redemption by works approach. But it was Judah, who was the fourth son overall by Leah, who suggested selling him into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Joseph rises rapidly in the house of Potiphar, who is in charge of the royal guard and the prison. But after refusing the advances of Potiphar's wife, she accused him of assault, and he was thrown into the prison. I personally don't believe that Potiphar believed her, but he couldn't do anything about it. Because I think if Potiphar had believed her, Joseph would have been executed. Slaves don't get to touch the master's wife. There, almost immediately, or pretty soon, Joseph becomes the chief prisoner, and it is from there that he is able to correctly interpret the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer. With the one being restored to office and the other hanged, as predicted. Sometime later, Pharaoh is plagued by dreams that cannot be interpreted by the scholars of Egypt, and it is then that the cupbearer remembers his inadequacies. Today I am reminded of my flaws and that he has forgotten his promise to Joseph to get him out of the prison. Joseph comes to the palace and correctly interprets the Pharaoh's dreams about the upcoming years of prosperity and famine, and is immediately elevated to the one who speaks with all the authority of Pharaoh in all matters, except the throne. It is this famine that brings Joseph's brothers back to him. In a series of events in which a silver cup is hidden in one of the brothers' sacks, Benjamin, who is Joseph's full younger brother, in the end, all of the brothers come with their father Jacob and their various family members to Egypt. It is the death of Jacob that triggers this anxiety passage by the brothers. The brothers did not initially know that Joseph was Joseph. They didn't recognize him. He did not speak their language to them. He talked through an interpreter. He put them through quite the ringer when he insisted that they return with Benjamin, now Jacob's favorite. And when the cup is found in Benjamin's sack, and when they have to return to beg for his life, only then does Joseph reveal himself as their brother. So now the question becomes, does this powerful man, the very image of Pharaoh, a mask of God here, and I'm talking about Joseph being a mask of Pharaoh as God, finally take vengeance for their actions? Does he remember? Is he like David on his deathbed who says, this person got away with it, but you can do something about that, you take care of him, which David did? It is here that the plea comes from them, Lord, have mercy upon us. And that plea is answered with the grace and mercy and understanding of wisdom and brotherly love. God has turned it all to good for you and for me and for the saving of many lives. And we see this in our catechetical petitions too, that God would bring us to a blessed end, that God would deliver us from the evil in our lives, that when we are not deserving of mercy, God would show himself a God of mercy, that when we are honest about what we are, God would be honest about what he is through Christ Jesus, a saving, loving, redeeming, caring God. And this is how it is with us and our powerful God. One can never be sure when he will break out and sweep away the wicked. I've got a clue for you. In this life, we all fall into that category with regard to our sinful nature and activities. Like Pharaoh, without Joseph, there might be no grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and mercy and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 2, we read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Here we see that in the same way that Joseph represented the image of Pharaoh, so Christ is for us the image of the living God. By Jesus, we know clearly what God wants us to know about him, that he is in fact gracious and merciful, full of compassion and abounding in steadfast love. And Jesus has so much more in common with this foreshadowing in Joseph, in that he is burdened with our sins in the same way the brothers burdened Joseph with theirs. He is sacrificed unjustly on the cross for us, in the same way that Joseph is imprisoned unjustly and raised from the dead, in the same way that Joseph is elevated and sits with Pharaoh. When we, like the brothers, remember our sins, iniquities, and sorrows, we can turn to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is there with his grace, mercy, and peace for us, just like Joseph was there for his brothers. It is he who shows us that our powerful God is in fact a gracious Father to all who call Jesus Lord, who loved us to give the best for us, his only begotten Son. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.